Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father who art in heaven, how thankful we are that we have a day that we can set aside to come into thy house, to open thy precious word, to be together and to fellowship in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who truly is risen from the dead. And in that great hope of the resurrection, we are gathered together to remember that victory that was won by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We who have spent this week in the spiritual battle, Lord, we come together to remember that the victory has been won. And we thank thee, O Lord, for our Savior. We pray that our hearts would be stirred to love and to faith, to a diligence to serve thee, and to yield, Lord, unto thy working and thy calling. We pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts and help us to draw near unto thee with hearts of love and faith. For we ask thee in these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's reading, a desire that we would read together from the letter to the Romans, chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10, would like to read the first 13 verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear ones, each passage of Scripture that we read together has a setting and has an audience, someone who is intended to hear and to receive this message. And much of the epistle of the Romans, it's written to the church in Rome, but much of it addresses the Jews. And we see Apostle Paul reiterating this in verse 12, that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek before God and their need. This is not how the Jews perceived the situation of their spiritual life and how they related to God and how the rest of the world related to God. They viewed it differently. They viewed that they had received the law and that they were doing what they could to keep the law, and that that had earned them God's favor and a special relationship or privilege before God. And yet, they rejected God's Son, and they rejected the teachings that he brought. And so Apostle Paul is trying to urge them to reconsider their ways. Their general approach to obtaining righteousness was to practice the law and to follow the ordinances, the sacrifices, the order of purification, the teachings of the elders and rabbis that had added on to the law. And that was their approach. And that is one type of righteousness that's described here. But there's another way. There's the righteousness of God that is described here. The righteousness of God that is obtained through faith. That is the word that we preach. That is the word of salvation. That is the word that Jesus Christ had preached. To believe upon him. To repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's desire is that one and all, both Jew and Greek, would be part of that kingdom. And Jesus began speaking to the Jewish leader, Nicodemus, about that kingdom. In John chapter 3, we remember very, very, very well that Jesus' first words to him were, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We are talking about the entrance into the kingdom of God and how that can be found by man. We see the Jews' approach was through the law, through the keeping of the ordinances. And we see that Apostle Paul is preaching faith. And that one and all, both Jew and Greek, can enter the kingdom of God by faith. And by faith, we find that there's access into grace, the grace of God, and his strength and his changing power that can transform the heart and life of a man and bring out the life of Christ and the power of the resurrection and the freedom from sin and the overcoming of those things that soil the life that brings shame and disgrace and guilt. But except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this is not a work of man to accomplish this. This is not an effort of the will or the strength of the mind or the body to accomplish this. This is the work of God. It's his strength. It's his spirit that makes these things possible. And the Jew and his approach to righteousness that relied on the human will to overcome and to be obedient, it neglected that opportunity and that outstretched arm that God was extending to them for them to humble themselves and to avail themselves, to take the opportunity to receive the gift of God's presence, of his help, of his nearness and his blessing, of his involvement in their lives. And that is something that man, whether Jew or Greek, does resist, because it requires the letting in of the light of the truth of God that exposes our weakness and our guiltiness, exposes how short we have come of the glory of God, And man does not like to entertain that thought. But there's no other way. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the pursuit of the Jew for his righteousness and self-righteousness was no righteousness at all. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter again the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To enter the kingdom of God, this is the theme and the message of Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10. And how is this done? Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of Spirit. We know that the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews, they resisted that baptism of John. They came to the baptism, but they did not bring fruits meet for repentance. And John warned them, don't say within yourself, don't say within your heart, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, don't say within yourself, we're entitled to God's special privilege and special relationship because of Abraham and our heritage. They're in a tough spot. They've put themselves in a tough spot. And although that Apostle Paul, he's directing his speech to Jews, as I think about their condition and how they viewed what God owed them and how others related to God, I see a lot of similarities between myself as someone who was raised in the church before I was converted. I had that view too, that I hoped that I would be baptized and felt that at some point that would just be the natural progression of things. But as I grew and as I learned, I found that that was not natural for this flesh whatsoever. And as I went deeper into sin, and I found how lost and how far I truly was, it was an opportunity for me and for, I think, for all of us. We learned the need to humble ourselves before God. And some of you may be in that situation. You're unconverted, but you were raised in church and you know the word. Do you feel like these people? Do you feel like this Jew, a sense of entitlement? Do you ask yourself the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Have you realized and see that your way is dark? You know, young man, nobody looks to wash their car after they've been through the car wash and everything looks good. No, it's after you've been through the salt and through the mud and you're soiled. That's when you start asking the question, how can I make this right? And a great impulse and a very natural impulse is to start correcting things and to make some correction and amendment of one's ways. But I believe we can all bear witness that when we start pursuing that, we find out that we're in far over our head than we expected. And there's a point where we can't make any more improvement. And we start struggling, and we start looking, where can I find help? You can find help by taking heed unto the word of God and its message. Its message of the righteousness of God through faith. Apostle Paul is trying to teach that lesson to the Jews. that are misguided. He says, and he bears them record. You know, he speaks to them, rather, in the first verse, that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they could be saved. He's not speaking to them like an enemy, even though they've treated him so harshly and wrongly. But he speaks to them lovingly and desiring to draw them, desiring to draw the heart that is resisting humbling himself before God. That's his desire, and to offer the word of salvation. He says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Certainly, Apostle Paul saw the zeal that the Jews had for their understanding, anyway, of the Lord and his ways. They had a certain preconceived notion. They had certain assumptions about how this worked. And they were very zealous about it. But not according to knowledge. Not according to the truth. And they needed to hear the truth. And Apostle Paul, in these first 13 verses, quotes the Old Testament four times. He brings the things that they know, the things that they're familiar with, to tell them and to show them, this is not hidden to you, and it's not far off. So then he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It's interesting, he says, that they have not obtained their own righteousness, but they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They're pursuing it, but they haven't gained it. And so they have no righteousness at all. It's been said that the art of the physician or the doctor is healing. And there's doctors, and they can provide medicines and treatments. And that's a wonderful thing. That's their art. But there's also people who know how to use food and proper exercise and care for oneself. And they also bring about health and healing. But somebody who's practicing medicine, who doesn't know what they're doing, even though they might have the degree, even though they say they're pursuing it, if they don't obtain health, there's no good in use of it at all. So the Jews, with their name, they didn't obtain righteousness. But the Gentiles, who had no name, who had no credentials, they found the health that they needed. They found the righteousness in Jesus Christ. They found what they were longing for. And so the fruits, that's what bears witness to the wisdom of the path of life. Not just the name. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is something that the Jews needed to recognize. They were, let's go into verse 5 first. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. This is a quote from Leviticus chapter 18, where the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, telling them, it's a beautiful expression, that they had come out of Egypt, but they are not to live like the Egyptians. And they're going into the land of Canaan, but they're not to live according to the manner of the Canaanites. They received the law. They received the teachings of the Lord, and that they should live in that. And that would bring them blessing. That would be good for them. This is the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And it takes great effort and pains. It takes great sacrifice. But we see that even the Pharisees that ascribed to this word to do those things and to live by them, that they fell so far short. And they, not only did they not follow and meet the standards of the law, but they neglected certain standards and put their own in their place. They ignored the word of God. And so they weren't condemned because they were so good or so obedient or so desiring to follow, but because they were straying. And they wanted to replace the word with something else. But they needed to be reminded that Christ is the end of the law. They were, as it were, stuck in that old covenant that was, according to the prophets, it was necessary that was just a precursor and a foreshadowing of a better covenant. They needed to know that because of the promises that are made in the prophets, but they ignored it. And so they stayed with what they held. And that is a dangerous proposition, that when the word is preached and the truth is explained, that we ignore and we stay with what we are comfortable with and what we'd prefer because it costs us less. But Christ is the end of the law, meaning the law is pointing to something. It's the things in the law, the feasts and the sacrifices and the practices and the cleansings, they were pointing to Christ. They were pointing to what he would ultimately do on the cross and in the empty tomb. And so he is the one that the law was pointing to, and the one that we are to take heed to when we say, we take heed unto thy word, to the law. So continue with verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And Apostle Paul begins quoting from Deuteronomy. Toward the end of the book here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Where Moses is, well, the Lord is speaking to them. And he's telling them that they had no need to ascend into heaven to find the command of the Lord. But Apostle Paul puts this explanation, that is, to bring Christ down from above, to bring the end of the law down from above, which is the law's purpose. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead? And Moses was explaining that in Deuteronomy that you don't need to go across the oceans or to the end of the world to find the command of the Lord. It's right here. It's written. It's before you. It's available to you. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The righteousness which is of faith is not merely acknowledgement of a proposition or agreeing with a fact. It's not as simple as when you make a quick agreement to when you're downloading some software and they say, do you agree to these things? You don't read those things. You just click agree and you go on, don't you? You've done that. A quick agreement, a quick acknowledgement, it's far more than that. It's more than the mind and the voice. But it says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven. Not even don't do it or don't try to do it. But the faith in the Lord has full faith. It has no room for doubting. So not even to say in your heart, to entertain the thought that God's word is coming short or is not near to you, but to believe it fully that this is the way, to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and to believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The confession with the mouth is bringing it out, is to share it, to acknowledge that the Lord God has raised him from the dead. Acknowledges that God is able to do anything. And if God is supreme, what does it mean to acknowledge that that is true? Can we simply acknowledge God is supreme with our mouth, but then live in another way? Is that faith? It's not. The two must be united. The two, the body, the soul, and the spirit must be united in the testimony that God is supreme and that there's nothing too hard for him and that we put our full trust in him. And this is something that's available to you to do, to respond after you've heard. And it's very interesting to read the context of this passage in Deuteronomy 30. What command is he talking about when he says, it's not too far from you? It's in your mouth. It's so close to you. At the very beginning of Deuteronomy 30, I encourage you to read it and to take a look. He says these words, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. What he's talking about is the time when they realize, after they've been scattered for their disobedience among the nations, if the word of God comes to their heart and their mind, and they remember what they've learned, and then, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. The command is to return. The command that the Lord is saying is not so far from you, is to turn your heart to him. That is what's in your mouth. That's that strength that God is revealing. It's not something that is requiring great efforts, that requires you to go to the ends of the earth like the Jews were doing, going to the ends of the earth in the practicing of their attempts for righteousness through their works. But it's near you. It's within your capacity. It's within your mouth. That's where the challenge is. It's within your mouth and within your heart. That's what's holding you back. Not that God is resisting you and turning you away. Apostle Paul is speaking with love that you would be saved. And the Lord is rich to all that would call upon him. There's nothing lacking in God's provision for you to be saved. But where it is, where that critical point is it's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That's what's holding you back. But if you would heed the command to return and turn your heart toward the Lord, Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. He'll deliver you. He will have compassion on thee. He will forgive you and will return and gather thee from all the nations. He will bring you from your straying and your wandering, and he'll bring you into his kingdom. And that's his power. That's where he wants you to be. He wants you to be united with his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us, brothers and sisters, to bear witness of Jesus Christ and to be an example to this world, to be a part of that kingdom. And he says, if any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. From far away, wandering soul, he's willing to go. He's willing to go the mile. And he has. He's extended his hand of mercy and love. And he sent his Son to prove to you that there's nothing lacking in his willingness and his ability to save you and to cleanse you. And Jesus has shed that precious blood for our sake. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And you may be wondering, can I be faithful? Will I endure? If you pursue righteousness upon your own merits, you cannot and you will not. It is impossible. But the promise of the Lord is with God when we cooperate with the grace of God that has been extended to us and we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God through faith. The Lord will do that work. He will bring the birth from above, that new birth, so that you and I may love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, and that we may live. And Christ the Lord truly has brought that promise of abundant life and life eternal. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither it is beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word, this command to return is very nigh thee. In thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. The man that believes and turns his heart completely to the Lord, that heart believes unto righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel, as we read not long ago in Romans chapter 1, from faith to faith. The entrance into the kingdom of God is by faith. And that faith continues to submit to the Lord, to hear his word, and always desire to be close to him. And that brings about a faith of sanctification. and righteousness, that righteousness of Christ, which is worked out by God's power in the heart of the one who is granted entrance into the kingdom in a simple way, in an easy way, by faith. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's a beautiful verse. This is a quote from the book of Isaiah. And if you read the chapter in Isaiah that talks about this, Isaiah 28, if you were a Jew reading this and you heard this verse, you would remember that chapter does not speak very kindly to the Jews and how they had arranged a covenant with death and that they had tried to hide themselves and to secure their safety in lies. It's stunning how it's spoken. And yet the Lord had provided a foundation stone, which became for them a stone of stumbling. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, which they rejected. And the Lord warns them, the way that you're going is bound for destruction. And so when the Jew would be reading this and the conviction that, no, you're not so entitled as you think. And yes, the way into the kingdom of God is open to Jew and Gentile through the simple access by faith. They would be humbled and they would realize, oh yes, in the past we've been straying like this too. This isn't the first time that we've erred. He says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. How good is our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A quote from Joel chapter 2 that is given in the context of God's promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. It's the passage that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles. And at this time, the Holy Spirit was speaking through the apostles and through the teachers and the prophets in the New Testament church about Jesus Christ and the way of entrance into the kingdom of God. And the Jews heard and they ignored. They should have known that the law was leading up to Christ. And they should embrace that truth. How much more so for us who have the promises of the word, the gospels written, the explanations in the epistles? How much more for us, not just for those who are yet outside the fold of Christ, but also for us for whom the letter is written, for the church to hear, to be admonished, to remember the word, and to draw near to him with all of our hearts. May the Lord add his blessing to his word, and may all the thanks and praise be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
We read about the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Are we ashamed? Or does it come hard, dear ones, for us to confess what we believe? To confess Jesus Christ and his resurrection, his sacrifice for us. Or do we have that freedom that Galatians 5 is talking about, which comes with faith in Jesus Christ? Brother was praying about whether do we get it as a rules and regulation kind of thing. Song 209 in our Zion's Harp, verse 2 says, "Oh, now it is done," the song that we usually sing after baptism. "No more freedom have I, because in Emmanuel's bondage I lie." Do we take it as we don't have any more freedom when we give our life to Jesus Christ? If we do, if we feel like we're trapped, we will be ashamed to confess Jesus Christ. But if we believe, dear ones, if we believe and if we do have that freedom to testify, we will never be ashamed. We will never be ashamed of proclaiming to this world what did Jesus done, what has Jesus done for me, where he brought me from, where is he leading me to. Beautiful verse we sang in 57, verse number 7. I do want to just read it one more time. "Who loves his life, Lord, more than thee? Without thee will he lose it. Who gives his life, he serves, who gives his life in service free to God will introduce it. Who bears no cross, no suffering, Lord, unworthy is of thy reward." If you feel trapped, if you do not want to confess Jesus Christ, if you do not want to bear the cross of Jesus Christ, accept the way of life he had to go through, he showed us, dear ones, we will never be free. We will never be free. Let our attitude be as the second part of that 209, second verse. "What freedom! Before I as captive did pine, the world's slave and Satan's, now Jesus is mine." May this be our attitude for each and every one of us, dear ones. To those who seek salvation, you're not going to be trapped if you believe, if you really, really believe. May the Lord bless his words upon our hearts. Amen.